Listen, I gotta tell you that I'm broadcasting from Rebecca Barno's apartment. Will you ladies like to say hello?
Hello.
I'll interrupt Peter for a second and let everyone know that tonight's session is Peter is in Port Townsend giving a talk to the Port Townsend Center, and we're all going to listen in.
Well, it's really thank
Hello.
you, Jill. It's to all of us, really. We're all one big happy family. But I was just telling Rebecca here, and I think it's partly because of my age. I never think anything is going to work. I don't think the Zoom is going to work. I don't think my microphone's going to work. I don't think the link is going to, it's going to be broken. And so when things work and I'm actually able to talk to you and you can see me and I can see you, I truly believe that miracles can happen. It's a faith affirmation. So, if you'll pray with me, oh Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Divine
Divine Mother,
Mother,
beloved Jesus Christ,
beloved
beloved
Jesus
Jesus Christ,
Christ.
blessed Master.
Blessed
Mother of David,
David,
saints and sages of all
saints and
religions,
sages of all religions,
I bow to you all.
I bow to you all.
Free my life from all obstacles,
Free
free
my
my
life
life
from
from all
all
obstacles,
obstacles,
and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
and
And
give
give
me
me
physical,
mental,
mental, and
spiritual
spiritual
development.
development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make
Make
my
my
mind
mind
thy
thy temple.
temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my
Make my
heart
heart
thy
thy
altar.
altar. Make my love thy home.
Make
Make
my
my love
love thy home.
be thou the only king.
Be
Be
thou
thou the
the only
only king.
king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning
Reigning
on
on
the
the
throne
throne
of
of
my
my consciousness.
consciousness.
Oh. Peace,
Peace.
peace, bliss,
Bliss.
amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Now we're going to have a short meditation with a little bit of Ram Nam by Gita. Can you guys hear anything?
Om Shri Ram. Sunday's grace awesome.
Okay. We'll get started. Although, why anyone would ever want to stop meditating, I don't know. So, the topic for tonight's talk is trust your God experience. So I want you to think back on your very, very first thoughts of God. I want you to think about how old you were. Maybe your parents took you to church. Maybe your parents didn't take you to church. But I want you to think about your first feeling of God, not as an intellectual idea or not as an entity that exists somewhere, but your own personal feeling of that, your own draw. So you're not on this particular Zoom call by accident. You decided to be here. And so there's a draw here. There's something inside of you that is prompted you to prefer to pursue God. And I think that's very fascinating, and it's a great, great blessing. So we go through life and we have all these experiences and we seek out all these experiences and we want to have a good life and we want to have good feelings. We don't want to have pain. We want to have good emotions. We want to experience love in all of its many, many forms. And so we pursue this and we pursue that. So one of the things people talk about today is peak experiences. Somebody had a peak experience. Maybe they write about it in a magazine because they were doing their sport, whatever it was, and they had this peak experience. So I want you to do some introspection. And right now, I want you to think about your peak experiences in life. What have they been? So people say, oh, well, the birth of your children, that really must have been a peak experience. So I went back and I thought about the birth of each one of my children. And I remember it very well because those are very emotionally charged times. And yes, it was very exciting when my children were born, but you know, it was mixed with so much anxiety. Are they going to be okay? Is my wife, who I love very much, going to be okay? Is there complications? Are the doctors concerned? Even after they're born, are they okay? Are they healthy? Are they going to need some extra attention? There's a certain amount of anxiety associated with that event. So gosh, you know, one of your peak experiences must have been when you got married. Maybe that was a wonderful time for you. Well, it was certainly a wonderful time for me. All my family was there and my friends, and they're all congratulating you and telling you how fantastic you are. But, anxiety with that, you know, we got married right here in Port Townsend 31 years ago, and everyone was trying to come across on the ferry, and the ferry was full to capacity and everybody couldn't get on the ferry. And one of our very good friends went to the head of the line and tried to bribe somebody to let him on the ferry, and he couldn't get on, and he almost missed the whole thing and came halfway through the reception, and he was full of anxiety and I was full of anxiety. And even though it was a wonderful time, you know, that time had some anxiety. So you think about the time you got a promotion at work, or you came across a boon of some kind or another. The nature of worldly experiences, if you do some analysis of your own, is you'll find that they're mixed. The good times are never 100% good. And the great news about that is the bad times are never 100% bad. You know, something good comes out of it. Somebody was, when you were hurting or you were in the hospital, somebody came in and they were kind to you, or they were sweet, or there was some little silver lining there that made it okay. And so the nature of our experiences here in this world are very mixed. So I'm thinking, now, have I had some peak experiences? Have you had some peak experiences? And in thinking about that, I thought, yes, I have. And all of my peak experiences have been when I've been uplifted in God. Now, isn't that a little something? And here's the interesting thing about those peak experiences is they're not mixed. The only mix to it, or the only bit of anxiety, is, oh my goodness, am I ever going to have to come out of this experience? Am I ever going to have to come down to earth? And why can't I live in this state of existence all the time? But you know, you get lifted up, and sometimes that happens in talking to God with one of, talking about God to one of our brothers or sisters. But most of the time it comes from sitting and meditating and being lifted up. And sometimes it can just come out of the blue, completely unwarranted, and here you are, all lifted up in God. Now, here's a crazy, crazy thing that I never have quite figured out. So you have those experiences, and you know how tremendous God is, and yet we don't pursue Him 100% of the time. We worry about this and we worry about that and we worry about the other thing. And we get interested in this and we get interested in that. We pursue this and we pursue that. And periodically, because of this tremendous boon we've been given, where God is inside of us and drawing us to Himself, we remember God again and we go, oh yeah, there's nothing like being uplifted in the spirit. That's the best thing that there is. And then we have more God experience and we go back and forth and back and forth. So our nature, always wanting to find happiness and experience happiness and experience upliftment, we search around for different things. You know, maybe it's some really good tasting food. Maybe it's going to be this tremendous massage and sauna everybody's been telling you all about that you get to experience. Maybe it's this tremendous camping spot where you can go and see all this beauty. And we pursue happiness in all these different places. And really what we should always be doing is trusting our God experience. And that's a really, really important thing to do. And there's some Bible quotes here. And I love these quotes. This one's from Mark 5:36. He says, and this is Jesus. This is overhearing what they said. Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And Psalms 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to never lack that connection, to never be separated from God, that we're with God all the time. And the second part of this psalm says, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to dwell in his temple, to be in his temple, to seek the Lord in his temple. His temple, of course, is us, our own body. And this is this psalm beseeching God to always be with him, to always pursue him, to always dwell on him. And then our very own dearest Mother Hamilton says, you know, your faith can make you whole. I don't care how weak you are, how greatly you feel that you are separated from God. You are one with him now. If you will but make the effort to take the first step, God will reach out his hand to you. He will take you every step up the mountainside. He will pick you up when you stumble and fall, and he will dress your wounds and he will heal them. And finally, step by step, if you keep your eyes on his glory, you will reach the summit and you will know in truth who you are, that you are he. So this is the nature of the path, isn't it? This in and out, this being with God, this not being with God. And you know, the more you pursue God, the more you put your mind on God, the more you notice the difference, the more you notice how you are when you're with God and how you are when you're not with God. And this in and out, this black and white, this light and darkness becomes more and more contrasted the further you rise up the path. And you know, you don't want that separation. You feel the pain of separation. And that in turn forces you to put your mind back on God. It urges you to put your mind on God because we don't like that pain of separation. What you don't want as a devotee is to just gradually slip into a state where you just sort of forget God. You know, it's not dramatic at all. You just get busy with life. You do this and you do that and you just sort of forget. And maybe you meditate sometimes, but perhaps not that passionately. So the pain of separation is a good sign. It means you don't like being separated from God. So you seek God and you receive that immediate benefit, that immediate upliftment. You know, it's an interesting thing. Sometimes on the path, we can beat ourselves up. We say, now I've been at this a long time and I'm still not God realized yet. In fact, sometimes I wonder if I'm any higher evolved than I was when I first set my big toe on the path? Have I made any progress at all? And we wonder and we fret and we worry. And you know, that's actually not our concern. It's not our job to think about. It's above our pay grade. You let God worry about that. You put your mind on God, and as dearest Mother Hamilton said, you let the chips fall where they may. And you have faith. And you have faith in your God experience. And you have faith that if you've had that experience before, you're going to have it again. If you've felt at some point in your path this tremendous connection to God, this upliftment, this joy, this all-pervasive everything that is God. If you've felt that before, you will feel it again. Have faith that that God experience is real. And it was real when you had it before, and it'll be real when you have it again. And it's that which you seek. You want that connection. That's the specialness of life. That's leading an elevated life, a special life, a magical existence. And you can go through life and you can look just like everybody else and nobody knows. Sometimes I think it's the greatest secret in the world that you can have this heaven right inside yourself, right where you are. And you know, people in dire circumstances can experience this. You can be in a hospital room. You can be on your deathbed. You can be in a terrible situation. You can be alone. But when you're with God, you're not lonely. You're not full of fear. There's no room for anxiety. There's only upliftment. There's feelings of acceptance. Feelings of love, feelings of expansiveness, feelings of peace. And you know, if you want friends, if you want the best friends you could possibly have, you do this with somebody else. You sit down next to somebody you love and you meditate with them side by side and you get lifted up and they get lifted up and you share something that very few people share. And you create a bond with that person. You are their spiritual brother. You are their spiritual sister. And the two of you know, and you share something that unfortunately few can understand. You know, the pursuit of God isn't, as Mother would say, sackcloth and ashes. The pursuit of God is, in fact, just the opposite. The pursuit of God is every good thing in life everyone is searching for. It's joy. It's acceptance. It's love. It's feelings of safety. It's feelings of warmth. It's feelings of belonging. It's feelings that everything is going to be okay. That's what being with God is. And yet, strangely, there's some part of us that rejects it. No, no, that's silly. That's boring. I'm going to run over here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I heard about this. I read about that. I saw this on TV. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, we all do it. That's part of the path. Until we're fully realized, until his mother would say we're over the top, that's the path. This back and forth, this in and out. So once again, trust your God experience. Trust that experience that you've had in the past, that it was real, that it is real, that it's available to you in just a slight shift in consciousness. Now, we can't necessarily snap our fingers and create it. Yes, it's grace, but you get yourself in the path of grace. You find out where grace is flowing and you walk out there and you stand in that river. You stand in that path of grace. You allow God to come in and lift you up. And believe me, God wants to do it. As the masters say, it's our natural state. It's where we want to be. It's where we feel best. It's where we feel goodness, wholeness, where we feel secure. You know, it's so funny. We're so funny. We cling so much on to the worldly consciousness. And yet, what does it bring us? As I talked about, even in the, you know, birth of your children, your marriage, your family gatherings, Christmas time, the holidays, the best times of your life, these joyous events, there's still this anxiety that perhaps comes with it. Or is everybody enjoying themselves? Or did somebody have too much to drink? Or is one of my children in danger? Or what's going on? You know, all these things that worldly consciousness brings us. Now, one of the stories that I find most fascinating as a parent, as a father, is when Lahiri Maaseo's daughter passes away. Then he's calm and he's peaceful and he tells, you know, the disciples, well, perhaps we should stop our lesson for this evening and we'll gather again another time. Well, his daughter just passed away and the women upstairs are wailing and screaming. And here this man is so immersed in God, he sees no difference. His daughter, whether she's in the body, whether she's there with him in the spirit, no difference for him. Now imagine what kind of consciousness it must take to be that immersed in God, that immersed in the universal consciousness to feel that way. And yet, what was available to Lahiri Maaseo is available to every single one of us. What was available to Mother is available to us. What's available to David is available to us. And you know, all they wanted, what they worked so hard their whole lives for, is for us to have that, for us to experience that. And here's the good news. We have. You know, you say someday, someday, someday I'll be God realized. Maybe someday if I keep my nose to the grindstone, if I keep chipping away, perhaps millennia from now, perhaps lifetimes from now, I'll be God realized. How about in those times that you were lifted up, those times that you felt peace, upliftment, oneness with God, how about you were God realized in that moment? You've already been there. You don't have to wait lifetimes. You've experienced it. Trust in that. Trust in that experience. Trust in that, that it's a real experience, that those feelings of God, those feelings of closeness, of oneness, of upliftment. To be honest, that's the only thing you can trust in this varying world that we live in. Things are always changing. One day you're old and athletic, and the next day you're young and athletic, and the next day you're old and not athletic, and you're this changes and that changes and the life changes. And one day you have little kids, the next day you don't. You know, everything's changing all the time. What you can trust, the constant in life, is access to the Spirit. Is being one with God, of feeling that closeness. And you know, it's available to us at any time. We're willing to sit down and really put our minds on God. Now, it might not come right away. You might sit down and be restless that day, and you might have trouble concentrating. If you can tough it out and you can keep your concentration on God, God comes. Not necessarily on our schedule, but God comes. And you keep your mind on God during the day. The little mundane things. You know, when I think about God a lot is when I do something I'm not supposed to. I lose my temper. I snap at my wife. I'm selfish. I do something I shouldn't. I said, now, God, you can't be letting me do that. You're supposed to be making a good person here. Now, I want you to keep a closer watch on things and don't let me do these things. Don't let me get in that mood. And I know it sounds silly, but the more I do it and the more I do it, God actually is smoothing out some of the rough edges. But you know, it's just the funnest path. Because no matter what it is, no matter what your little thing is, what your complaint is, perhaps you get frightened. Perhaps you feel anxiety. Perhaps you're insecure. Perhaps you don't know what's going to happen next. Perhaps you're worrying about money. Well, you can, if you want to do that, you want to worry about that, that's just fine. But you do it with God. Say, God, what are we going to do about this money situation? Doesn't seem to be enough around. Now, would you like to do something about that? Would you like to help me out with that? And what exactly should we do? And you just be talking to God all the time, and you'll be surprised how your life starts to smooth out. Now, sometimes we have emotions that we can't control, you know, they get away from us. People talk about one of the favorite subjects everybody talks about today is this anxiety. Oh, I have this anxiety. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with all this anxiety? Well, now you just share that with God. You say, God, we seem to be feeling some anxiety here today. So what you going to do about that, God? And why would you want to feel anxiety anyway? Well, so help me out with this. And you're going back and forth and back and forth with this anxiety. And all of a sudden you discover what my anxiety isn't quite as bad as it was before. You know, God must be doing something. He's sharing the load, and we're going back and forth and we're having this conversation, and this is starting to go away. Before we got started with tonight's session, I was having a wonderful conversation with Rebecca and Brianna. And we talked about little shortcuts, ways to get out of depression, ways to get out of anxiety, ways to get out of being unhappy with our lot in life. And we decided one of the easiest ways to do it was do for others, perform some service. Now, just that in itself is magical, but if you were to do that with your focus on God the whole time, now what a double whammy that is. And that'll get you out of the deepest funk in the shortest amount of time. It'll make your head spin. And there's an infinite amount of service that we can do. There's always somebody that needs something. And it's like with so many other things, you know, you think you're helping this person. Truth of the matter is, if you're performing service for them, they're helping you. You will be the greatest beneficiary of that interaction, I assure you. So it's this wonderful, tremendous path. And you know, it's the doubting Thomas in us. You know, it's so funny. We read about these characters in the Bible, these disciples. All of the 12 disciples and Jesus himself are all characters that we play within ourselves. So we're all that aspect of that particular disciple at one time or another. And the things that we think and the things that we display, the thoughts that go through our head, the actions that we convey. And one of them, of course, is when Jesus comes back after the crucifixion, and Thomas doesn't believe it's him. And Thomas wants to feel his side, to feel the wound that the Romans had inflicted. And, you know, Jesus says, Thomas, you know, you are blessed for having faith and having seen. But those who have faith and have not seen are even more blessed. Well, guess what? We get to be both characters in this scenario. We have seen, we have been uplifted, we have been shown God's joy and bliss and light. We have experienced that. And then there's other times where we wander in the darkness and we can't remember what that was. And we've lost our way. And at those times, we have to have faith with perhaps not such a good remembrance. So the whole point of this subject and this talk is to admonish you to remember that God experience that you've had and hang on to that and know that if you've had it once, you're going to have it again. And it is ever new and ever different and ever delightful. and is it available to us at any time? At any time. We make that effort. We put our minds on God. God is always with us. Now, if you want to fear, if you want to have anxiety, if you want to feel insecure, that's a bit of a self-indulgence. You know, that's a, like a guilty pleasure. If you want to do those things, you go right ahead, but you don't have to. You put your mind on God and that goes away. And that's available to you anytime. Now you might say, well, Peter, you don't get my situation. I've really got a lot of anxiety. I've really got a lot of worries. You know, I've got a really rough life over here. I'm not like you. I got problems. I got challenges. And so it's really easy for you to say these things, but you're not living my life. And of course, you're exactly correct. You're right about that. You have a unique set of challenges and perhaps they seem pretty gigantic, but you put your mind on God and those challenges become less. And I would say that if you put your mind on God enough, those challenges start to disappear. They start to go away. I got such a big kick out of the disciples that would come and they would be wanting to make an appointment with Yogananda, you know, and perhaps they didn't live right there in Los Angeles. They lived a ways away and they maybe had to wait several weeks and they had to travel to Los Angeles before they could have an interview with the master. And they had so many questions. They had questions about the path and questions about their practice and questions about theology and where does all of this, you know, come into play and how does it work? And so here the big day would come and they would go and they would sit with the master and they had all their questions and they would sit and the master would say, what can I help you with, my son? You know, how can I be of service? And they would just get, remember this one man would talk about, he would just get a big smile on his face. And master would say, do you have any questions? And he just, with this big grin, he would shake his head back and forth and say, no, I don't have any questions. All the questions went out of his mind. Why did they go out of his mind? Because he was uplifted into the presence of God by, of course, being in the presence of master, of Yogananda. And when you're uplifted in the presence of God, all these anxieties, all these insecurities, all these quote unquote questions seem to just disappear. They seem to just fly out the window on the evening breeze, never to be seen again until, of course, you descend in consciousness and start wringing your little hands together again and worrying about this and that, the other thing. So if you want to have a good life, now there's billboards everywhere that, you know, if you use this toothpaste, you're going to have a good life. If you drive this convertible, you're going to have a good life. So I'm going to give you the big shortcut and you might not see it on a billboard. Put your mind on God. Put your mind on God and what you get is a good life. Less worry. More freedom. More goodness, more love. Now, when you're uplifted in God, strange things happen. People become attracted to you. Animals become attracted to you. Little kids become attracted to you. When you're uplifted in God, magical things happen. So try it. If you really want to have a good life, if you want to have a blessed life, if you want to have a magical life, you put your mind on God. And if you have doubts, you trust in the God experience that you've already had and go, oh, yes, I remember that. I remember that. And you put your mind on God. You put your focus on that point between the eyebrows or in your heart center, whatever is natural to you, and you put your full focus on God and you feel that upliftment and that joy and that sanctuary from all of life's troubles. And all you can think is, how lucky am I? How lucky am I to experience this, to have all of this, to have all this joy, to have all these blessings, to have all this goodness, all these smiles, all these kind eyes, all these friends. There's nothing like it. There's certainly nothing in the world like it. But it's available to us anytime we want it inside. Now, once again, perhaps we're not at a stage in our development where we can snap our fingers and be uplifted just like that. That's okay. That's all right. Maybe we're at a stage of our development where all we can do is just put our mind on God in that moment and say, God, can you help me? Can you help me out here? Can you be with me while I walk down this hallway? Can you be with me when I sit for this interview? Can you be with me when I sit in traffic and I wish I could go and I can't? Can you be with me right now? And in that moment, perhaps in the tiniest but most significant way, you are uplifted. It is a beautiful path we're on. It's a beautiful thing that we seek. What we seek is the everything that is God. There is no greater adventure in this universe. And we're on it. And we're on it together. And how lucky are we? Amen. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father. Divine Mother. I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence.
I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body.
I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Peace, bliss.
Amen.
Bless you, and may you have a God-filled week.
Thank you, Peter.
Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna and Rebecca.